This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله واحد أحد صمد لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم. Brothers and sisters, as we witness more and more campuses across the world at this point, not even just across North America, we witness students taking upon themselves the obligation of speaking out against what they believe is false, what they believe is oppression and transgression, and they are doing that in the form of peaceful protests and encampments within their campuses. It strengthens a point that I've been talking about for many years. And I don't, unfortunately, right now have the audience to make this point, but it's recorded, so maybe it'll reach them anyways. I spent the majority of the last 10 years speaking to university students, whether it was on campus or off campus, in different settings. And what I used to always tell them is that you have all of the ammo. You are the ones who change the narratives in the world. Every group, every government, every institution, regardless whether it be governmental, charitable or not, require your blessing in order for things to work. They don't realize, people in their 20s, they don't realize that the world works based on what it is that they think is reasonable, what they don't. But because the majority of them just don't care about anything, because you're 20 and you're young and you're youthful and you just don't have time to care. So you're easily manipulated. So when you're manipulated, those who want to keep the status quo going, they do. But if it were to be somehow that this age group decides that something is wrong and has to change, or something is right and has to be, then those two things will occur. Will occur regardless of how many other, regardless of what exists on the other camp, how much money and how much politics, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You have the strength and you have the power. You always did. You just don't know. People like us, we know that. I'm in the end of my 30s. I don't carry that anymore. Because I don't have that. I don't possess that degree of passion anymore. Life beats it out of you. You don't have that time anymore. You have kids. You have a mortgage. And you have a house. And you have a job. And you have too many things you don't have. But you're 20. Yeah. No wonder the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam took interest in that age group, right? Study his seerah alayhi salatu wasalam. Now study it after listening to this and you understand why he cared about Ali and Zubayr and Talha and Sa'id and why he cared about these people. Because when you hear the stories like, how they were 13? Why would he even speak to a 13-year-old? Yeah, that's why. Because it's people like that who can change the world. It's people like that who can force narratives. It's people like that who can force the hand of the oppressor to do something different. It's that age group. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the guidance and grant them the clarity and grant them the courage and grant them the commitment to do that which we have failed to do for them. And allow us to be people who stand behind them and help them and empower them and allow them to move forward, because that's the only way for this to work. You understand that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, after he was asked to lie in the bed of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that night, the night of Hijrah, once he got rid of, when he did what he was asked to do, and he gave back all of the amanat that he carried, that he ran to Medina. He was 24. He ran to Medina. You understand, let me tell you, it's 400 kilometers. All the narrations we have in all books of Seerah, he ran. He did not have an animal of any sort to ride. He had no way. He just ran. Because he loved him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he wanted to be with him. And he believed in his cause. And he was doing what he was required to do. And the moment he didn't have to do it anymore, he just ran. When he got there, he had no shoes on his feet anymore. Radiallahu anhu. Wa karramallahu wajha. Wa alayhi salam. Because he loved it. And all of them were the same. You study their lives, you find the same. Because that age group just possesses something that the rest of us don't. If we continue to try and put a lid on them, control them and suppress them, and we don't get anywhere. The key is you educate, you mentor, you guide, you teach, you empower, and watch. And sit back and watch. Well, you can't sit back, but you can watch. And today is the third day of the encampment over at UWO. Our students have decided that they're going to stay there for as long as it takes to get their demands met. It's an obligation upon us as a community to support our students. To support our students. They don't belong to any political party of any sort. And they're not demanding anything that's political. They're demanding something that is humanitarian in nature. They're asking for the world. They're asking for the organization that is teaching them ethics and morals and values to uphold those ethics, morals, and values that they teach. Is that unreasonable? Is it unreasonable for you to demand the teacher who is preaching something to you to practice that which they preach? So we must support them in something, I think, worthy of all of us to be inspired by that commitment and by that courage, inshallah ta'ala. Those weren't the two maxims. That wasn't the part of the maxims I wanted to share with you. This series is based on a number of maxims or self-evident truths or principles that I live by that I want to make sure that those who listen to me understand, so that you know where I'm coming from, so we can meet halfway. Because I believe that one of the problems we have in our community today is that there's lack of clarity. The imams are speaking about one thing, and the people are hearing something different, and then they're expecting something also completely different, and we're all just existing in our own little silos with completely different expectations and really almost no common ground anymore. And I don't know how else to fix this, aside from just explaining to you where I am coming from. You can listen to it, you can agree with it, you can disagree with it, doesn't matter, but at least you know. And maybe if we can find that common ground, maybe then as a community we can get things done. Maybe we can stop complaining about the exact same problems that the person before me 15 years ago complained about, and the person before him 15 years before that also complained about. Maybe we can actually fix them. So the first point that I'm going to share with you today is the following. Division is evil. Within Islam, the concept of dividing the ummah is pure evil. There is no good excuse for doing it. There is no good reason for you to cause more division within your ummah, period. This is something that's not my maxim. This is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It's easy. The Quran points it out time and time again. I recited the verses to you. Every imam gets on a minbar, ya ladina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih, right? And ends there. Continue the verses. Forgive me, continue. What does he say? Wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an. Hold on. In protection of yourselves, of your existence, to the rope that connects you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a figure of speech. There's no actual rope. But it's you understand what it means without me needing to explain it to you. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and don't divide. And then he gives a few points. And then again, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا. He says it again, don't be like those who divided. وَاخْتَلَفُوا, and they fought amongst themselves after they were given clarifications. مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةِ. You see, Surah Al-Bayyinah, the clarification, was it, وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِن بَعْدِ. And then they went and they divided. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ. They were only told to do 1, 2, 3, and they divided. When Musa alayhi salam came to Harun and he found the people worshipping an idol, they were worshipping a golden calf. قَالَ يَا هَارُونُ مَا مَنَعَكَ إِذْ رَأَيْتَهُمْ ضَلُّوا. What were you doing? You see them go. قَالَ إِنِّي خَشِيتُ
أن تقول فرقت بين بني إسرائيل. إني خشيت أن تقول فرقت بين بني إسرائيل. We don't take time and think about what he said here. Harun alayhi salam, the wise Harun alayhi salam. That I felt like I didn't have the ground to say anything. And if I said anything, it was going to divide Bani Israel. I didn't want you to come back and find me the reason for the division of Bani Israel. So I waited for you to come back. Because they'll listen to you and you can actually get things and I can't. If I open my mouth, it's going to divide them. I'm not going to carry that in front of God. Subhanallah. Alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the wording in the Quran. You can't make this stuff up. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ إنما أمرهم إلى الله ثم ينبئهم بما كانوا يفعلون. Indeed, those who divided their ummah, you have nothing to do with them. This ayah is addressing the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. You're not responsible for the division they caused. They will return to Allah, and Allah will talk to them about this, about that which they did. There's no good reason for us to divide. Saying that doesn't mean that you sit around doing nothing because you're scared of division. This doesn't mean that you're allowed to take a stance and say, this is the stance, and if you take a different stance, then you're dividing, even though your stance is wrong. The lack of collaboration is division. The lack of willingness to collaborate and work with others, that's division. The lack of tolerance of other people's opinions, that is division. That is division. When a masjid runs in a certain way, and other people come asking for maybe some changes that suit them, for the person who's in the position of the status quo to say, no, you're causing division by asking for something new. No, you're causing division for lacking tolerance and lacking open-mindedness and lacking the ability to see the needs of others. So not everything, division is not just bringing something new. I want to make that clear. If you have things in a certain way and someone comes and starts poking that maybe that needs to change, that someone is not necessarily causing division. You using that card against them is division. Saying, no, this is how it's always been, and it has to stay. And if you're going to change that, then you're causing division. No. Closed-mindedness is one of the sources of division. If you're in the position to make changes that help people, and it's being brought to your attention that this way of doing things or this way of functioning is not healthy, and you refuse to change because that's how it's always been, then you're the cause of division. You must, every single decision that you make, think, will this cause division? Will this cause tafarruq? Will it cause the ummah to lose its essence even more? Lose its unity even more? You have to ask yourself that question. Could I have done it in a way where that wasn't going to happen? What could I have done to keep the unity of my community and the unity of my ummah? That's what you have to ask. And sometimes you have to make decisions and division will occur because you made that decision. It wasn't because you made it. It's because other people made other decisions that caused it. But if everyone listening to me would take that upon themselves, then we would be in a different position where we sacrifice to keep the unity, where we bend backwards to keep the unity, where we learn to work with those whom we don't like or agree with to keep the unity, because there's no good reason for division. And I don't know how we will explain ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We come with a divided ummah and a divided, and forget, the ummah on a larger scale is, you all know, we can't talk about that. That's beyond our grasp. I can't change the reality of the Muslim world. There are 2 billion people. They're living all across the world. But at least within a small community like this, is there good reason for division here? Maybe we start there. I don't like people who talk world politics when their backyard is a mess. I don't like it. It bothers me. It really does. It's one of my pet peeves. I can't stand it. I walk away. When they start talking to me about world politics or world politicians, and our backyard is filled with garbage, the same garbage that we could, if we just put a little bit of effort, we could clean it up so that our kids and the next generation can actually function. But we're going to sit down and talk about some ruler somewhere that we have no way to affect or influence in any manner. But that which we can change, we're not going to talk about that. Why? Because there's politics in our community. There's no politics out there, just in our community. You think the politics of countries out there is less complicated than the complex political field of London, Ontario? This is pathetic. It's pathetic. There's nothing. There's just lack of understanding of the importance of unity, of bringing people together, of wanting this community to be one, to function as one, to feel as one, to care for each and every person as equals. Not to care for one group's needs and the other group doesn't matter.
because they are from a different part of the world, or they don't speak Arabic, or whatever reason we come up with. Everyone has to be cared for equally in order for this. If you don't, then you're walking down a path of falsehood. And the path of falsehood may be attractive for a short period of time during your existence, but it ends with darkness, and it ends with failure. And that's how it always ends. And haqq may be dark at the beginning, but the light, you'll see the light at the end. It will change. إخواني وأخواتي ما أردت أن أشارككم إياه اليوم في هذه الخطبة وسامحوني سأضطر إلى الاختصار الشديد هذه سلسلة الخطب هذه تتحدث عن مبادئي الأمور التي أحيا بها القضايا المسلمات البديهيات وأرى أن ثمة فارقا كبيرا بين بديهيات الأئمة والخطباء والمتحدثين في الدين وبين يعني رواد المساجد وبين أفراد المجتمع وإذا أردنا أن نحقق لأنفسنا شيئا كمسلمين في هذه البلاد فعلينا أن نتفق على مجموعة من المسلمات والبديهيات ويكون ثمة بيننا توافق على بعض المسائل وإن لم يكن بيننا اتفاق كامل على الأقل يكون بيننا فهم يعني فهم متبادل على هذه المسائل ولو اختلفت معي تكون متفهما لوجهة نظري ولا بأس في ذلك أن نختلف في أمور لكن أتفهم وجهة نظرك وتتفهم وجهة نظري ونحيا معا ونحاول أن نجتمع ومن الأمور التي وشاركتكم عدة أمور في الأسابيع الماضية واليوم أريد أن أبدأ بقضية التفرقة يا أخواني ليس هناك سبب جيد للتفرقة في الدين إطلاقا الدين هذا يقوم على الوحدة والاتحاد بين أفراد المجتمع بين أفراد المجتمع بين المسلمين والذي يفرق والله لا أدري ما عندنا أحاديث فيها شدة في ألفاظ رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام كما الأحاديث التي تتحدث عن الذين يفرقون الجماعة لا تجد أحاديث فيها شدة كهذه حتى يصعب علي يعني يصعب علي روايتها على المنبر لشدتها من فرق في الجماعة فاضربوا عنقه بالسيف كائنا من كان في حديث النسائي وأبي داود عبارات شديدة يصعب على الخطيب أن يشاركها المجتمع الذي لا يستطيع أن يطبقها تطبيقا كاملا لكن في الكلام إشارة لللبيب في الكلام إشارة لللبيب أن التفرقة يا أخواني لا مبرر له لا يمكن لنا أن نحيا حياة أو أن نتخذ قرارات نفرق فيها جماعتنا وهذا لا يعني أنك تجلس في مكانك تريد لكل شيء أن يبقى كما هو لا هذا فيه تفرقة أيضا أن تبقي الأمور كما هي وإن كانت لا تخدم المجتمع هذا تفرقة الذي يأتيك يريد أن يضيف شيئا أو يغير شيئا ليخدم الناس وتقول لا نحن نفعل هذا الأمر هكذا نفعله منذ زمن بعيد لا تفرق لا أنت الذي تفرق بهذا اليبس الذي في رأسك بهذا التمسك والتعصب للقديم وبانعدام القدرة على رؤية احتياجات البشر هذه تفرقة وإذا قبلنا الله يوم القيامة وقد فرقنا أمته أمة حبيبه عليه الصلاة والسلام فإني لا أدري بماذا أقابله ولا ندري ما الذي نقوله له سبحانه وتعالى إذا سألنا لماذا وما تفرق الذين أوتوا الكتاب وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا ليش تفرق ما في مبرر أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده The second point I'm going to make for you, and maybe probably talk about it a little bit next week as well, Islam without reform doesn't function. I want to leave you with this phrase, and I want you to think about it for a while. Islam without the concept of reform in it doesn't do anything. It is toothless, it's clawless, it has no impact, it doesn't change anything, it doesn't help anyone, it doesn't do anything. It's meaningless if it doesn't have reform in it. I'm sorry. These are heavy phrases. I'm aware of that. If you remove the concept of islah from Islam, meaning Islam is no longer there to see deficits, see problems, and bring reform on a social level, ethical level, financial level, political level. If Islam does not have that edge, if we don't see Islam as a tool for us to bring reform for ourselves, starting on the level of my subconsciousness, starting on the level of my heart and my intentions, and spreading to the level of how the world is governed. If you don't see Islam involved in bringing reform to the world, then I'm sorry. So might as well not even have it. There's no point. It becomes an opioid. It becomes something that it's a carcass. It doesn't do anything. Yeah, you come to the masjid, you make it. The sheikh says something. We all recite. We laugh. We shake our hands. We walk out. We go back to how things are. Then we come back again and do the same thing, a couple of times a day. After a while, it becomes a couple of times a week. After a while, it becomes once a week. After a while, it becomes a couple times a month, and then once a year, and then it comes to you dies, because people don't want to come to a place that does not help them change their lives. People, who you come to the masjid, you're looking in that book for solutions for your life. You're looking for change. You want to be better. At least I hope so. You want to be a better person. You don't want to live the same way you're living. You want to elevate your status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you want to function better. And you want that functionality to improve not just for you, but for other people. You want it to spread to the community, and then for it to spread to the world. And that requires Islam to have reform in it. That requires Islam to have the ability to look at a mistake and say, that's wrong. And that has to change. And yes, ahla wa sahla fiqh, with your mistake, but we have to work on it because it needs to change. It has to get better. Acceptance of people does not mean acceptance of status quo. It's not the same thing. They're different things. We accept people. Of course we do. As Muslim, ahla wa sahla, regardless of who you are and what you're doing, ahla wa sahla, this is your place. But why are you coming here? So that I celebrate everything you do? Why are you that perfect? MashaAllah. Everything you do, you want to be celebrated. You're welcome so that you can start working on being a better person. We come here so that we can become better, so I can change, so I can identify my mistakes, my shortcomings, my pitfalls, and I can become better. And we do that as a jama'ah, because we all have our shortcomings. So there's no need to judge one another anyways, because whatever shortcoming that you saw from me, well, you have one that I just didn't see from you, so there's no point. And we work on becoming better people. If you remove reform from Islam, if you remove that edge, then what's left of it? What's left of any religion? What's left of any theology or ideology or way of life? What's left? Nothing. Honestly, nothing. It just becomes a social gathering where we stroke each other's egos and make each other feel a little bit better about ourselves. Whether we're doing well or not, whether we are adhering to righteousness or not, whether we stand by haqq or not, whether we live for justice or not, whether we are people who are functioning the way we should and living the lives we should live or not. And I don't see any value in that. All of the prophets were reformists. They came and they focused on the aspect of their society that needed to change. They didn't focus on some other aspect of society that didn't need to change. Think about it. When you read the story of Shu'aib, what's the focus there? The focus every time you read his story in the Quran, لَا تَنْقُصُ الْمِكِيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانَ أَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَلَا He's talking about the fact that financially they cheated in their transactions. He didn't ignore that. Say, well, that's one bad thing. But they're very nice people. They're very kind. They're always smiling. Let's focus on that. Let's focus on keeping that going. As they cheat and eat haram. Yeah, but we can do that later. There's only one problem. That's all it needs. You only need one problem to sink a society if the problem is left unchallenged and unchanged. It goes for every story for the Anbiya. They come, they see a problem, and then they're like, nope, this has to change. And their congregates, the people, will say, can you just let this one go? Just let this one go. They came and told him, Shu'aib, أَصَلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرُكَ أَنْ نَتْرُكَ مَا يَفْعَلُ آبَاؤُنَا أَوْ مَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا أَوْ أَنْ نَفْعَلَ فِي أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءُ يعني, we love what you're saying, but do we have to change what we do with our wealth? Then he said, yeah, you have to change. So they said, yeah, no, sorry. It was really nice, by the way. Everything. He says, don't salah, they say the same thing. يَا صَالِحُ قَدْ كُنْتَ فِينَا مَرْجُوًا قَبْلَ هَذَا أَتَنْهَانَا أَنَّ Hey, we used to like you, Ya Saleh. What is this that you're telling us? Because the moment you challenge something that's wrong, people are like, no, hold on, slow down. It was nice up till this moment. Don't change anything. Islam without that peace goes nowhere, does nothing, adds nothing to the world. And it's not useful for you. It's not useful for you or for me or for this community. You come to Islam as you are, but then you accept Islam as it is. And you learn from it, and you project it on yourself, and you see what's missing, and then you focus on the piece that is until you fix it. That is something you do on a personal level. That's something we do on a communal level as well. I'll talk about that a little bit more, inshallah, the next few weeks. I hope that was a benefit to you. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم احقن دماء إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان وخص منهم أهل غزة والسودان يا رب العالمين اللهم رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين أخرج الصهاينة منه أذلة صاغرين لا تمكن لهم فيه أبدا يا رب العالمين وردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا وتب علينا اللهم من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة.